Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Going Greyhounds. With all the news from kennels and courses around the country, here's Mark Duclos.
28 to 11, and as usual, Duke is going to be like one of the Leyland brothers. He will travel all over the countryside. There'll be Albion Park, Shepparton Casino, Adelaide, Coonamble. Where aren't you going, Duke?
Darwin.
You had to miss one out. All right.
I'm yet to score a gig to the Darwin Cup, Cozzy, but you're right, mate, as always. It has been another big week in greyhound racing, both on and off the track. And this morning, our guests on Going Greyhounds will include Jason Thompson, who had a super Saturday on Saturday evening when he took out the Group 2 Shepparton Cup with Aston Bolero. He also took out the Group 3 Top Cat Video Cup with Burn One Down. And we'll speak with Jason about those two chases, plus a couple of others in his kennel. On Thursday evening at Dapto, it was the Group 1 Megastar, and Let It Develop proved that age shall not weary them. Rising 4 years of age, Let It Develop proved too good in the $75,000 to the winner classic when he took it out on Thursday evening. On Friday afternoon, the Group 3 Casino Cup, it was taken out by Blackley Bonus for Evelyn Harris. The Young Guns on Thursday night at Albion Park, Tripham scored an upset win for trainer Darren Russell. And as I said, the big two races on Saturday evening were the Shep Cup and also the Top Cat Video Cup at the Meadows. And Jason Thompson just continues to prove as to why he is one of the best trainers in Australia. But right now, joining us from the Sunday Mail newspaper in Queensland, political commentator Peter Gleeson. Morning, Gleeso.
Hey, Duke. How are you this morning?
Very well, thanks, mate. Let's talk about the Greyhound ban. And last week was a week where it probably garnered more coverage than what it has in probably the last month or so. And we saw, multiple news outlets led by Channel 9, led by Daily Telegraph, of which your Sunday Mail newspaper is part of. And Andrew Clennell from News Corp reported that a draft interim report from Dr. John Kinnery, who has been charged with leading the transition task force, will offer a $1,500 compensation deal to greyhound owners for any of the greyhounds that they possess. Again, to say that this sort of rocked the boat a little bit, a slight understatement.
Yeah, a couple of things. I mean, that $1,500 compensation payout for each greyhound, well, that's laughable. You know, anyone within the industry knows that, you know, it costs at least $5,000 or $6,000 to get a pup to the track, let alone, after that. So I guess this also underlines just how out of touch the Baird Grant government are with the industry. And I think that's been the problem all the way along here, Duke. I think, unfortunately, the minister responsible for this draconian legislation just doesn't have any idea as to how the industry works. And if you do the figures, and Kennery himself has said that there's going to be about 19,000 dogs that need to be rehomed from July 1 next year. If you extrapolate that to $1,500 per dog, there's $28.5 million straight up. There's a $30 million compensation package. These guys are running around saying this is a generous package. Well, we know in the industry that it's just weasel words, and I guess it underlines just how important the Orange by-election will be in a couple of months. And, Duke, you and I have spoken about this off-air. This is absolutely a referendum on the greyhound ban. And I think everyone in the industry needs to understand that if the Nationals were to lose Orange, Grant would go, the legislation would be overturned, and the industry would survive. If for some reason there's a massive swing, there'll still be a lot of pressure. If they happen to hang on and the swing's sort of, you know, in that 10 to 12% range, Grant and Baird will be emboldened and they will continue with the ban. So my advice to anyone in the greyhound industry in New South Wales is to make sure that you voice your support to anyone in Orange, that they get out on the day and they vote against anyone other than, they vote for anyone other than the National.
A 26% margin, a seat that they've held since World War II, Pete. And again, when you look at the nuts and bolts of this by-election coming up in Orange, the fact that there is a 26% swing, and we're even, contemplating the thought that Nationals could lose this seat. It must send shivers through the entire party, particularly for those MPs who have got seats where they've got a 3% and 4% margin, because if we get a 20% swing against the Nationals, surely that is the writing on the wall.
Yeah. Now, there's a couple of things on that too, Duke. Jack Lang, former New South Wales Premier, always used to tell Paul Keating, in politics, always back self-interest, because you know it's always trying. And when nervous backbenchers in the Liberal government start to realise that the Greyhound ban is a government changer, not just a parliamentary changer, but a government changer, that means that the people are so concerned, so upset about it, that it can change government. As Andrew Fraser said the other day, the member for Coffs Harbour, he said this will change government, this particular piece of legislation. You know then that there's an issue. Now, if Troy Grant's smart, and thus far he's proven that he's not, he would go to the Premier and he would say, look, I'm going to lose the Deputy Premiership and all my lovely little portfolios if we lose Orange. Let's come up with a compromise before Orange and try and save the seat. Whether he's got the intestinal fortitude to do that, because he's shown all the way along here, Duke, that he's not prepared to stand up to the Premier, remains to be seen. But if he was smart, he'd go there and try and salvage Orange, because if they lose Orange, he's gone. It's white hot, the opposition to the Greyhound ban in Orange. We know it's a very strong Greyhound area. And the other problem that Grant has got is that he's done the unthinkable on behalf of National Party voters. He's jumped into bed with the Greens. Now, the Greens represent everything that the National Party is not about. He's jumped into bed with the Greens to get this legislation across the line. So it shows he's got no morals, no ethics, no core constituency sort of allegiances to the National Party. And when the leader of the National Party in New South Wales starts jumping into bed with the Greens, you know that he's got a problem.
You touched on a couple of things there. Firstly, we'll deal with Andrew Fraser, a National Party MP, who emailed all Baird government ministers last week imploring them to overturn the ban before the by-election at Orange takes place, after revelations that secret polling had his party's primary vote at just 34%. And in the email, he wrote, if an election was to be held tomorrow, our government would be unelectable. You know, pretty strong words. One query I've got, but Pete, it's all right to come out after the fact. And Andrew Fraser had his opportunity when legislation was being passed. He had his opportunity to vote against the legislation, but he chose to abstain, which is, it's like kissing your sister. You know, like there is no result.
And you know what? On Friday at Casino, they held the Casino Cup. There was about 1,200 people there. It was the biggest crowd the Casino track has ever seen. Now, you know, this is a bloke, Grant, who is running around saying that the industry's on death row and that it was buggered anyway. You know, I mean, fair dinkum, he's kidding. Now, Chris Galaptis was there. He was the guy that actually crossed the floor, showed the intestinal fortitude, him and Katrina Hodgkinson and Kevin Humphreys, to come out and say, I'm going to vote with my feet. I'm going to stand up for my core constituency. You know, Fraser says, you know, after the event, if he was fair dinkum, he would have crossed the floor with the others. But instead, he comes out now and says, oh, geez, we've got a real problem. We need to address this. So in some respects, I'm glad he did, because it sort of underlines just how much this legislation is hurting the government. But on the other hand, you're right. It's like kissing your sister. And I just go back to that point about Casino, mate. You know, Coonamble will be a record this year. You know, for the Baird government to come out the other day, for Troy Grant to come out the other day and say, oh, the industry's buggered anyway. I mean, we've seen how, we've seen the growth in the amount of wagering turnover on Greyhounds in the last 5 to 7 years now dwarfs the trots, you know. And when they start talking about animal welfare issues, you know, about a week ago, a couple of trainers were banned from the industry, thoroughbred trainers were banned from the industry for 5 years. For flogging a two-year-old, you know, if you're going to talk about animal welfare, you're going to talk about getting your act together. You know, I think all three codes need to have a look at themselves. And obviously, there are reforms in place in other states in relation to greyhound racing, as there is in New South Wales. So, you know, as I've said before, Duke, the animal welfare zealots are, you know, they're zealotry. they are going to go after everything. And that's why a lot of National Party members are now thinking, well, what's next? You know, animal husbandry techniques on all farms. I mean, that's what they're going to go after. That's why they're going to vote against the National Party in Orange.
Yeah, as I said last week, Pete, the media coverage reached fever pitch, basically. Chris O'Keefe, the state political commentator for Channel 9, he actually came on air and said, look, Mike Baird is seriously considering this. Here are a number of options available. Lee Jelicek on Channel 7 actually went the other way and said that, you know, the legislation has been proclaimed. It can't be overturned unless, you know, it goes back to government. The Canary report, the draft interim report that was leaked to members of the media, said that up to 20,000 greyhounds will be on the ground come July 2017. The government, once again, seriously underestimated the figures. In their initial report, they thought there'd be around 6,000 or 7,000 greyhounds. So they're looking to continue the breeding, rearing and training of greyhounds, Pete. This is what I don't get my head around. And Troy Grant, in a tome that he sent out to some National Party members, said that they'd left this open so as to, you know, not to affect too many people. Well, if it's okay to breed, rear and train greyhounds post 2017, tell me why we can't race.
Well, Mark, this just completely underscores the lack of empathy, the lack of information, the lack of knowledge that these people have of the industry. I mean, Troy Grant refers to the GBOTA as Jabota. I mean, he has no understanding of the industry, and they're making willy-nilly decisions based on information. You know, you and I have spoken about the McHugh report, the greatest work of fiction ever seen. Good people were not asked to give evidence. It was selective. It was, him and Rushton, they did a report that was designed to close the industry because that's what Grant had. And I mean, I know for a fact that Grant and Baird canvassed very senior people within the media industry 12 months ago saying, what do you think if we ban the industry? And at that time, a couple of them said, well, we wouldn't support that, as the Telegraph has come out and done, as Ray Hadley has done, as Alan Jones has. I can't think of any media commentator or in fact, senior political leader in this country that has actually come out and said, except for Peter Fitzsimons at the weekend, and said, oh, it's the right thing to do. I mean, everyone knows that it's just poor thinking, poor legislation. Chris Galaptis was given a standing ovation at the Casino Dogs on Friday for standing up for his constituency and crossing the floor, losing 30 grand as the parliamentary secretary. That's the other thing. I mean, these blokes, they're fairly vengeful, you know. I mean, Troy Grant came out and said he was proud of Katrina Hodgkinson and Kevin Humphries and Galaptis.
And then dumped them.
And then dumped them. I mean, you know, this is the bloke who's about to get dumped himself, and he won't be able to hand out those little coins that he's had commissioned to give to visiting dignitaries, which has cost the taxpayer about $4,000, by the way. So, look, let's just hope that the Nationals lose the Orange by-election and we can get on with life, Duke, because, this has been the most fanciful, disgraceful exhibition by a government ever. And the bloke from Coffs Harbour, Fraser's right. They are unelectable. Unfortunately, there's an election in 2019. I wish it was next week.
Well, we've got to wait till mid-November for the Orange by-election. Just one thing I want to say, Peter, is that a lot of greyhound participants looked at the media coverage last week, looked at some of the reports saying that it would be changed, and that often governments, put out what is known as a softening strategy that get people thinking, well, maybe they will change their mind. At the end of the day, what greyhound participants need to understand is this. The New South Wales state government have passed legislation to ban greyhound racing. Full stop.
Correct.
So don't think for 1 minute that this softening strategy of Andrew Fraser coming out and saying, look, we're unelectable, we need to change it. Don't fall for any of this. Just go on the basis that they have banned the industry and continue to fight to get this ban overturned.
Correct. And they've sort of backed themselves into a corner. I mean, it's going to take a lot of courage for George Street to reverse this. And, I go back to my point earlier.
You can tell you're a Brisbane boy now. Macquarie Street, mate. Sorry to correct you.
What is it, George Street?
Macquarie Street.
Wherever they are. You've got to understand that, and I say this, what I said earlier, it's the by-election in Orange is very much a referendum on the future of greyhound racing in New South Wales. So if you want greyhound racing back in New South Wales and you live in that orange electorate, vote against the National.
Peter Gleeson from the Sunday Mail, thanks for joining us on Going Greyhounds.
Pleasure, mate.
Okay, from political commentary to race commentary, and Jason Thompson, Victoria's leading trainer, one of the best in the business in Australia, joins us now on Going Greyhounds. Good morning, Jase.
Yeah, how you going, Mark?
Good, mate. It was a super Saturday for the Thompson Kennel. You took out the Group 2 Shepparton Cup with Aston Bolero, the Group 3 Top Cat Video Cup with the Little Boom Stayer in Burn One Down. Jase, you were overdue. You'd had multiple runners in feature races this year. You had five in the Group 1 Australian Cup, and you told listeners on Going Greyhounds last week that Aston Bolero was your best chance in the Shepparton Cup, and that's how it turned out.
Yeah, well, I'm actually, most of the time I'm wrong, so I should have thought I said that.
I'm trying to give you a rap here, mate.
Yeah. After saying that, I thought, well, I've given him no hope. But no, look, I suppose, you know, you only had to look at his form and know the dog, the races that he's been in throughout the whole year. And he was drawn okay, really, in box six. He's better off middle to wide. And even though he'd missed the start in his last two, that's totally out of character. So if he did what he normally does, which is begin well and run straight from that box, and he was going to give himself every chance, and that's exactly what he did. He wasn't the first out, but he was right there behind Bears Gold and sort of hit the front going through the first corner, and once he's in front, he's pretty hard to run down, and yeah, and he just got there, but he did it well, ran quick time, and did exactly what we wanted to see him do.
It's his second Group 2 Country Cup. He took out the Bendigo Cup earlier this year, and a $50,000 bonus awaits any greyhound that can win three cups in the calendar year. And both Aston Bolero and Zambora Brocky are now in line for that bonus. What are your immediate plans with Aston Bolero?
Immediate plans are just focus on the Top Gun. I know it's an invitation race, but you know, he's got to get a run in that. So we'll just aim him specifically at that, and then just after that, obviously Melbourne Cup, and then we'll attempt the bonus in the Ballarat Cup. So, and I'll be assuming Zambora Brocky will probably follow the same path, because you know, he's a shoe-in for the Top Gun as well. So I think we've got to focus on that race and attempt the bonus at Ballarat.
Let's talk about Burn One Down. People like you and trainers such as you and your skill, and I don't mean to embarrass you here, mate, but you told me a few weeks ago you dropped him back to the 500 and then a 595 to sharpen him up in the early stages, because his box manners in 700-metre races were basically what was letting him down. His last two starts, he's begun so much better, and he's really put himself in the firing line at the winning post the first time around. And we saw in his heat win of the Top Cat and then in his final win, the winning post the first time around, he was in second spot, and there's not a dog in Australia that's going to run him down from there.
No. Look, everything has gone to plan perfectly with him as far as just giving him a little freshen up and, as you say, to sharpen him up through that speed series. And I think that probably was what's done it for him. He little freshen up in his trial that I gave him on the Sunday before the heats. I think he ran about a 5.13 or around that time, which is very good for him. I mean, it's quite good for any dog, let alone for a stayer like him. So that certainly helped. And then he was very unlucky to probably get run down, not get Dundee Osprey in his match race, but it was still a terrific run. And then he had a good 5.95 hit out, and it just set him up for this race. And he took the good beginning that he's been doing in those trials and that match race to both the heat and the final. And I think it's given him the confidence that if he begins like that, he gets himself into a right spot, doesn't get into a lot of trouble, and as you say, when he gets close to the lead at any stage of the race, he's always going to be hard to hold out. And that's exactly what he did on Saturday night, and was probably the best that he's ever had, because he was a meat and a sandwich at the first corner. And on previous occasions, he's probably overreacted when he's got checked like that and probably lost half a dozen lengths, where he really held his ground well and got him in a good spot through the corner, and then, as you say, second at the winning post, and it was pretty much all over from there.
Yeah, he raced through that gap on Saturday evening. And look, we see dogs like Burn One Down, and they rise through the grades so quickly. We often forget how young, how inexperienced they may be. He's only had 22 race starts for 11 wins and 6 minor placings. And again, he really is still learning his craft. He's still learning how to race.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And dogs of his size, and especially getting to 700 metres racing so quickly, where he didn't really learn how to negotiate fields over 500, which I think does help dogs when they progress to 700, because most stayers normally have, you know, between 15 and maybe 30 races, sort of between 500 and 600, and he didn't have any of that. He probably had half a dozen and then was straight over the 650, 680s and then 700. So it's taken him until now just to learn how to race. Obviously, he's always had the motor, but you just got to learn how to do it against quality dogs in good races. And I think from what he's done, his last 3 runs, including that 600 metre run at Sandown, has sort of shown that I think he's just about there now.
We've got the Top Gun sprint, as you said, Aston Bolero, more than likely is guaranteed to start in that race. But we've also got the Top Gun stayers, and Burn One Down will be the first stayer into that race. Then we've got the Bowl Trees coming up at Sandown during the Melbourne Cup Carnival. Some big races for a greyhound like Burn One Down, and some really rich prize money on offer.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly where we'll be going. He's sort of, his next 2 missions will be the Top Gun staying race. He will have one more race between now and then. It's just under 4 weeks away, so it's sort of pretty much worked out what I'm going to do with him. He'll have one more race before that Top Gun race, and then probably be the same going into the Bowl Trees. He may have one more race or just go straight into the Bowl Trees, and from the Bowl Trees we'll go to the Sale Cup with him. So they're the, as long as he can stay sound, obviously, there is 3 missions, you know, until the end of the year, and hopefully he stays sound and can go in each of those, because he's a, you know, it's great to have a dog like him, but I think he's an exciting dog and a good dog for people to watch. As you know, it's sort of just getting into ground racing, to watch a dog like him, he's just, you know, it's just unbelievable just to watch him race.
Yeah, the kennel is on fire. I want to ask you about Marrera before we go. He took out the Group 1 Golden Easter Egg at Wentworth Park earlier this year. He's been off the scene for a few months now. I believe he's on the comeback trail?
Yeah, he is. He's, he chipped a bit of bone off his stopper bone in his last race at Sandown and had a screw put in that. It's healed well. Had the screw taken out about 6 weeks ago. He's had 4 trials back, 4 runs up the straight at Healesville. If things really go to plan, he'll possibly race in about 2.5-3 weeks, hoping that maybe having rights to the Top Gun. But he's coming along well, and if we don't go to the Top Gun, we're just getting ready for the Melbourne Cup. But touch wood so far, everything's going well with him, and hopefully he'll be back racing very, very soon.
Terrific, mate. Let's hope the good run continues.
No worries. Thanks, Mark.
Jason Thompson there discussing what was a super Saturday with Aston Bolero taking out the Group 2 Shepparton Cup and also Burn One Down winning the Group 3 Top Cat video. Well, on Thursday night at Dapto, it was the Group 1 Dapto Megastar, $75,000 to the winner. And age shall not weary them could well be the catch cry for Let It Develop, who turns 4 years of age in November. He's now had 98 starts, 29 wins, 39 placings. And his owner, Pete Spiteri, joins us on Going Greyhounds this morning. How big is that smile still on your face?
Well, I can't get rid of it, Mark.
Your greatest moment in greyhound racing, Pete?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yep.
It's
very thrilled, mate. And, you know, to see him come up through all his grades and get up to the top where he's got to now, it's taken him, like, it hasn't taken him all his racing career, but it's just taken till now to get to his peak, and he just seemed to found another gear, because he's hanging on, he's sort of hanging on that much better now than he ever used to.
He's by Collision, and we know how much chase Collision puts into his pups, and he's out of a bitch called Neat Irish which goes all the way back through Supreme Dot and Kevin Johns's breeding line, all the way back to his foundation brood bitch in Sumax. And it's been a sensational litter for you, Pete, because the three stars have been Let It Develop, who's now won over $201,000 in prize money. Jack Cade, he's won 26 races from 84 starts. He took out the Group 3 Casino Cup last year. He's won nearly $94,000 in prize money. And Pierre Cade, he's had 16 wins and $46,000 in prize money. So between the three of them, 71 wins and over $340,000 in prize money. It's a litter that you can really only dream of.
Without a doubt. And I've got Amy Jo, the sister to Let It Develop. She's just had seven pups.
Who are they two, mate?
My bro Fabio.
Yep.
Yep. And only last Saturday they were born, but they're all doing well. There's three dogs and four bitches. Very happy with them, mate. Very happy.
Pete, what's the secret to the longevity of these dogs, such as Let It Develop, such as Jack Cade, such as Pierre Cade? Do they just have a tough constitution?
Mate, I don't know. I'm only really a hobbyist in this business, and I breed a litter and I hand rear them myself, do what I have to do. And I remember Andy said to me once, he said, if I had people like yourself rearing dogs, bringing them up to this stage and giving them to me, he said, I'd be the best trainer in Australia, without a doubt. You know, that's what he said to me. And it made me feel good, because it's all the time and the effort you put into them, it just comes back, it pays back. You just can't rush them along, just let them do what they want to do, and it pays dividends, Mark.
It just doesn't happen when you send them away to be broken in, does it? I mean, you know, you've got to handle pups. It's that such a vital age from birth up until 13, 14, 15 months of age before they get sent away to be broken in. You touched on Andy, and I want to speak about your great relationship that you have with Jody and Andy Lord. And it's been one that has borne plenty of winners in the past years.
It has been. We've known Andy for a lot of years when he used to live out here in Bringelly. And I only come across him one day walking up the street, and he had grounds, and I was walking a dog, and he says, "What do you got there?" And I said, "Oh, I got a young pup, it was by Stately Bird," and I said, "Just took it down to Russo's and it went 18 something." And he said to me, "If you can get it to run 18.60, give it to me." He said, "I reckon I'll get it to run 17.60. You know, good on you.
He's never short of making a statement, is he?
No. You know, I never forget things late like that. And anyway, we will often bring that up. But the relationship I've had with them have been fantastic. They helped me whelp Need Irish when it was time to, when she was due to whelp. They helped me through all that. And then, you know, obviously, you know, the story, we just sort of, I had a couple, he had some. Andrew Rowe had a couple, different ones had a couple, and we just sort of spread them around. And Andy sort of, well, he obviously knew at the time who he thought was going to be the best. And Jack Cade and Let It Develop were his pick of the litter, without a doubt.
And he was very bullish on Thursday night. I remember interviewing him and yourself and Gracie Lord, and Andy just flat out said, he leads and he wins. Well, he didn't lead, but he sat second, and he provided you with your biggest moment in greyhound racing when Let It Develop took out the Group 1 Dapto Megastar. Pete, great to catch up with you on Going Greyhounds this morning. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mark, for the invitation. Thank you.
Peter Spiteri there, and as I said, it's great to see people like Pete who have been involved in the industry for such a long while, and to see the enjoyment they get out of winning a Group 1 race, Cozzy. It really is what makes greyhound racing the great industry that it is. We've got a big week coming up this week. We've got heats of the Group 1 Adelaide Cup this Thursday. The Canamble Carnival will be held this long weekend. I know Luke Foley, the leader of the opposition, is heading out there on Monday, but at last count, I think they had around 980 nominations for the weekend. Ooh. So if you like a punt, I can tell you, Canamble, I was there in the late 90s. It is one of the great carnivals. I can tell you, around October every year, the body starts to shiver a little bit because I have fond memories of it. And that carnival kicks off on this weekend and goes right through until the Monday. And I just want to give a wrap to Sandra Spratt and Chris Spratt out in Orange. They're hosting a dinner and charity auction night, which will be held on the 27th of October. It's to be hosted by 2GZ's Neil Gill. They've got guest speakers, mega raffles, live auction. There's some great prizes up for grabs. There's a boat There's a ride on Lawnmower. Matty Murphy from Murphy's Rearing and Pre-Education. He's donated some framed frame memorabilia as well as some boxing gloves. Tickets are $65 per person. And if you go onto Facebook, you can find out all the details. Sandra Spratt and Chris Spratt, they're organising that. It'll be held at the Orange Function Centre on the 27th of October. And just a shout out to all the Greyhound people out in Forbes today. They're doing it really tough with the floods that we've had in that area. And I know there are a lot of people out there, including Jack Smith and Marie Smith and many more Greyhound people. We are thinking of you, and we hope it all turns out for the better.
Yep, too right. Good on you, Duke. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, Cozzy.